And let us hear the word of the Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. How are you hearing the word of God? That is the main issue with which Jesus is concerned in this parable of the sower. How we are hearing the word of God. Are we really listening to it? Are we really taking it in and submitting ourselves to it? How are you hearing the word of God? Now, we've reached a new section in Matthew's gospel here in chapter 13. This chapter contains Jesus' third major discourse in Matthew's Gospel. The first one was the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 to 7. The second was in chapter 10 as Jesus prepared to send his disciples out to the lost sheep of Israel. And this is his third major discourse, and this chapter comprises seven parables. Parables being, as one person defines it, earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. Earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. Parables are stories of everyday events that convey truth about different aspects of the kingdom of heaven. And they were Jesus' favorite form of storytelling. In fact, no one spoke in parables more than the Lord Jesus. And so at the start of the chapter, we read that on the same day that he's been having this conversation with the Pharisees, he leaves the house where he's been, he goes to the beach, the crowds follow him, they gather, there's not enough room for him on the beach, and so he gets onto a boat, the crowd are all stood there, and he begins to teach them, we're told, many things in parables. No doubt Jesus spoke many parables on this particular occasion. But Matthew has selected seven of those parables that clearly the Holy Spirit thought we needed to hear and benefit from. And the first one is this well-known parable of the sower and how the sower goes out and sows his seed and it falls on different types of soil and that leads then to different results. And the meaning of this parable, Jesus then goes on to explain later on in verses 18 to 23. But before we get to that explanation and look at that in a bit of detail, we first have this important section regarding the purpose of the parables in verses 10 to 17. The disciples, we're told, clearly Jesus is just on his own with the disciples now, no longer with the crowds. He's on his own with the disciples, and they come up to him and they ask him, why do you speak to them, the crowds, in parables? And Jesus' answer is extremely important, an extremely important answer. He says in verse 11, to you it's been given to know the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Here it is. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Now, what is Jesus saying here? What is his answer to the disciples' question? What Jesus is saying is this. I speak in parables in order to distinguish between those who know me and my kingdom and those who don't. I am distinguishing by teaching in parables between those who belong to me and those who don't. And to those who know me, like you disciples, to you I reveal the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom that I have come to inaugurate, and I reveal those mysteries in parables. But to those who don't know me, who don't belong to me, like the Pharisees, with whom I have just been in conversation, I conceal the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom in parables. In other words, the parables perform a dual function. They perform both a revealing and a concealing function. A revealing and a concealing function. To those who believed in Jesus, to them, truth was revealed in parables. And as they received that truth and walked in it, so more truth and more light was given to them. That's what Jesus means when he says in verse 12, for to the one who has, more will be given and he will have an abundance. As I reveal my truth to you, and as you receive it and walk in it, so you will be given even more truth, even more light, and you will have an abundance. But to those who do not believe in Jesus, to them, truth is concealed in parables. And as they continue to reject Jesus, so they become yet more and more darkened in their understanding, which is what Jesus means when he goes on to say, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. They will just become more and more darkened in their understanding. And so Jesus spoke in parables, he says, in order to distinguish what we might call his elect from his non-elect. They performed that distinguishing, we might even say that judging function. Those chosen by God had the blessing of the parables revealing to them truth about the kingdom. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Many prophets and righteous people of old longed to see what you see and didn't see. They longed to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Your eyes are blessed, your ears are blessed, because God has chosen you and he's chosen to reveal his truth to you. But those not chosen by God, well, to them the parables served only to conceal such truth from them. In other words, God is absolutely sovereign in deciding to whom he reveals his truth and also to whom he conceals his truth. That is God's sovereign prerogative, his sovereign right. He decides to whom he reveals truth and to whom he doesn't. But, that does not mean in any way that we are not responsible for how we respond to his word. And that is really the significance of the quotation from Isaiah chapter 6, where Matthew goes on to say, quoting from Isaiah 6, you will indeed hear but never understand, you will indeed see but never perceive, for this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Now, we read Isaiah 6 earlier on, and there we saw that Isaiah was commissioned by the Lord, having had this amazing vision of the Lord in the temple. He's then commissioned by the Lord to go and preach to his fellow Israelites, but he is forewarned in that passage that they would not receive his word. That as a general rule, they would not receive his word. Why? Well, because their hearts, the Lord said, had grown dull. They had stopped their ears. They had closed their eyes. In other words, they were a people who had willfully and repeatedly chosen to reject God and to reject his word. They had willfully chosen not to hear and not to see and not to believe. And so God was sending Isaiah to preach a message that would confirm them in their hardness of heart. He was sending Isaiah to preach a message of judgment, confirming them in their unbelief, in their hardness of heart. And Jesus here is saying that prophecy of Isaiah, yes, it received fulfillment back then, but its real fulfillment is now among the people of his day. He is saying that the people of his day, like the people in Isaiah's day, are in the large part and led by the Pharisees, willfully choosing to reject him, willfully choosing to reject his kingdom. They are willfully closing their eyes and stopping their ears. And speaking to them in parables confirms them in their choice, confirms them in their hardness of heart, such that they hear, they could hear his words when they're on the beach, but they don't really hear. They see, but they don't really see. And so the parables were a word of judgment to the Jews of Jesus' day. And what Jesus is essentially saying as he teaches these parables is therefore this. He's saying to his fellow Israelites, your time is up. You won't hear me. You won't believe me. You've hardened your heart against me. So be it. Have it your way. Your time is up. I'm not going to reveal my truth to you. I'm going to conceal it from you. But I'm going to reveal it to my chosen disciples, who I am gathering around me as my new and reconstituted Israel. The parables have that epoch-shifting significance. Something epochal is happening when Jesus teaches in parables. What's happening is that with them, the old Israel, by and large, is being judged and rejected. And with them, the new Israel is being formed and constituted as the truth of the kingdom to which Jesus' disciples belong is revealed to them. And everything hinges, from a human perspective, everything hinges upon how one hears Jesus' word. Everything hinges on that, how we hear and respond to his word. How we hear his word has nothing less than life and death consequences. It's a life and death matter, how we hear Jesus' words. And that brings us then to the parable of the sower, which is all about the different ways God's word is heard. So let's pray that we this morning would hear it rightly. I know it's very familiar, but let's pray that God would open our ears to hear it as we ought to. And we see here that there are four different hearers. Four different hearers. There's the hard-hearted hearer. There's the shallow hearer. There's the worldly hearer. And then there is the fruitful hearer. First of all, there is the hard-hearted hearer. Jesus in the parable in verse 4 talks about the seed being sowed and how it fell along the path and the birds came and devoured them. And then he interprets that for us in verse 19 when he says that when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what's been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. In other words, there are some who, when they hear the word of the kingdom, when they hear the gospel, just won't get it. They just won't get it. They won't understand it. The seed of God's word lands, as it were, on their heart, but because their heart is hard, well, it just stays on the surface. It doesn't go in. It doesn't go down. It doesn't sink down into the core of their being. And the devil comes along and snatches it away. It reminds me of a story. I think I've probably used this story before, and I heard it again recently, of William Wilberforce, the evangelical Christian, great campaigner, taking his friend William Pitt the Younger, the Prime Minister of Great Britain at the time, along to a service. Pitt was not a Christian. Wilberforce was desperate for him to become a Christian. He thought, he just needs to hear this preacher, a guy called Robert Cecil. He's a brilliant preacher. So he took him along to a service. Cecil preached a great sermon. At the end of it, Wilberforce turned and said, wasn't that amazing? Brilliant sermon. What did you think? And William the Pitt turned around and said, I didn't have a clue what he was saying. I didn't have a clue what he was saying. There was nothing wrong with Pitt intellectually. He was very, very able. Prime Minister, I think, at 24 years old. Very able, very intellectual. But his heart, well, it was hard, like stony path. The word just could not take root there. And it was snatched away by the devil. So do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, when you meet people who just don't get the gospel. They might be very intelligent. They're not necessarily hostile. And we should certainly pray for them and persevere with them. I'm not saying that if you share the gospel with someone, and Jesus certainly isn't saying this, that if they don't understand it straight away, then they're obviously, you know, the equivalent of a person with a hard heart. Not necessarily. We should pray for them. We should persevere with them. But do not be surprised if, in the end, they just do not get what you are saying. And keep a watch on yourselves as well. Pray that you would not grow hard of heart or slow of hearing. That can and does happen to Christians, to genuine Christians. Pray that God would not allow the devil to snatch away his word from your heart. Pray that it would sink in. Secondly, we have the shallow hearer. Jesus goes on in his story and says that other seeds fell on rocky ground where they didn't have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. And he explains this in verses 20 and 21. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. What we learn here is that there are some who, when they hear the word of the kingdom, immediately receive it with great joy. And they rejoice to hear of the good news of salvation for sinners through faith in Jesus Christ. Wonderful news. And they profess their faith and they get baptized and they join a church and they become incredibly enthusiastic members. They're at every meeting. They're on fire for the Lord. But then the experience of tribulation or persecution comes. Maybe they lose their job. Maybe they suffer some form of ridicule and rejection from their friends because they're going to church and they're reading the Bible. And all of a sudden, the good news doesn't seem like such good news. And they didn't think their life would get harder. They thought their life would get easier, better. And they're not really sure they're prepared to suffer for Christ. And so in the end, they decide to give up and fall away. And I don't think that this is a particularly uncommon thing. I'm sure a good number of us have known people like this who at one time were on fire for the Lord, so enthusiastic, so committed, but now where are they? They're nowhere. And so often that's because being a Christian brought them some level of tribulation or persecution, and they just couldn't take it. Now, we need to be clear here that Jesus is not saying that you can lose your salvation, that if you are genuinely saved, that you can lose it. He's not saying that. He is simply noting the phenomenon that some people will at one time profess to be his followers, and all of the evidence would suggest that they are genuine Christians, but at a later stage they will fall away. Actually, just the other day I was reading through John's Gospel, and John chapter 6 contains both of these truths, interestingly enough. In John chapter 6, verse 39, Jesus says these wonderful words, "This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day." Jesus will not lose you. You are secure in his hands. He will hold me fast. But in the very same chapter, verse 66, after he's spoken about being the bread of life and how you need to feed on him, it says, "After this, many of his disciples," not the 12, the inner core, "but many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him." There we have both truths in the one chapter. Many of Jesus' disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. They had what we might call a shallow faith or a temporary faith. They did not have true saving faith, which is always a persevering faith. What about you? Here is the challenge to you. Are you a shallow hearer or a deep hearer? And let me be very clear with you, especially if you're not a Christian and you're listening to this, or if you're a new Christian, you will suffer as a Christian. In one way or another, you will suffer. Jesus promises you that. He promises you many other things. He promises you forgiveness. He promises you eternal life. He promises that he'll always be with you. But he does promise that you will suffer. If you are a follower of his, you follow, after all, the suffering servant. Are you ready to suffer for Christ? If you're not, then don't bother signing up. Thirdly, we have the worldly hearer. In verse 7, Jesus talks about seeds that fall among thorns, and the thorns grow up and choke them. And then he interprets this in verse 22. "As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." This is the sort of hearer who doesn't reject the word with a hard, hostile heart. This sort of hearer may even be quite interested in the word. He recognizes there's something to learn, something to benefit from the word of the gospel. He's got something important to say. The trouble is they just don't really have enough time. They just don't have enough time. They're too preoccupied with the affairs of life in this world. Preoccupied with various cares and concerns, providing for one's family, the children's education, looking after aging parents, whatever it may be. Or they're preoccupied with getting more stuff, making more money, accumulating more wealth, advancing in their career. And none of these things in and of themselves is wrong. There, Jesus is talking about, what I call the worldly hearer. So this is someone who doesn't necessarily reject the word with a hard heart, with any sort of degree of hostility. They actually might be quite interested in it and recognize that there's something important to listen to, but they just don't have enough time to listen to it. They're too busy, too preoccupied with their lives in this world. They have various cares, various concerns, things like looking after the family, providing for them, the children's education, looking after parents, all the rest of it. You can imagine the various cares that people have, or they're busy and preoccupied with making more money and getting more wealth and climbing up the greasy pole, as it were, advancing in their career, and And of course, none of these things in and of themselves are wrong. It's important to say that. It's certainly not wrong to look after your children and parents and do a good day's work and all the rest of it. None of them is wrong in and of themselves. But these, what Jesus is saying is that these worldly concerns can so easily basically take over our lives, and they become the dominant thing. So much so that they end up leaving us with just no time for that which is actually most important, which is Jesus himself and his word. And what happens is that his word ends up being choked, as he says, by these worldly cares and concerns, or by the deceitfulness of riches. And I think it's worth saying that this can happen very easily, perhaps especially in a culture like ours, where everyone is just so busy being busy. Maybe a bit less so the last few months, but generally speaking, we're just a very busy kind of culture. And this too busy mentality can very easily infect the church. As Christians, we can fill our days with good things, with necessary things. I recognize that. We need to go out to work. We need to go shopping and provide food for the family. You need to do the cooking and the washing, all the rest of it. These are good, necessary things. But I wonder if you ever get to the end of the day and realize that that you've actually just spent no time at all, not even 5 minutes, reading God's word and praying to him. And I recognize sometimes that just happens. But I suppose what we need to guard against is that becoming a regular habit. If you go for a week without spending even a few minutes reading God's word and praying, or a month or longer, then we need to stop and recognize that we're perhaps just a bit too busy. The world can so easily, very slowly but very surely, choke the life out of us. That's the warning here, and we need to guard against that. But then we have, fourthly and finally, what I've called the fruitful hearer. This is the one, well, the seeds that fall on good soil and produce grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And as Jesus says, this is the one who hears the word and who understands it, and who therefore bears fruit. There are, in other words, some who do hear the word rightly, and they receive it by faith and apply it to their lives. Not, by the way, necessarily a quarter. Jesus isn't making that sort of mathematical analysis here. There are some who will believe and understand it. They'll allow the word to take root in their hearts, and the result is they will bear fruit, the fruit of godly living, the fruit of good works, the fruit of evangelism and seeing others become Christians, the fruit of, in a word, conformity to Christ. And yes, there will be varying degrees of fruitfulness. Some Christians will be more fruitful than others. Some will bear fruit 100-fold, others 30, as Jesus says. But the main point is that there will be fruit, that if you do hear his word rightly and receive it by faith, you will bear fruit. And it's worth emphasizing that point, that our fruitfulness comes from letting God's word settle in our hearts. It's the seed that becomes embedded in the good soil that produces grain. And it's as we allow the word of God to become embedded in our hearts and to settle there that we will bear fruit. And I love the simplicity of what Jesus teaches here. I realize there's a great mystery in our sanctification and our bearing fruit. It's a work of the Spirit, but there is a lovely simplicity here. How do we bear fruit? Simply by hearing the word and letting it settle in our heart. And you know, that's why in many ways the greatest thing that you can do as a Christian is just to come to church and sit and listen. Now, I'm not encouraging a sort of passive Christianity. Far from it. But really, the most important task for you is to sit and listen to the word of Jesus. Individual Christians, churches, can become very busy doing lots of good works, but they can quickly forget the one needful thing, which is to sit and listen to the word of Jesus. And you know, it's as you hear his word, as you allow it to settle in your heart, that the word of God will do its work in your heart, and you will bear much fruit. Well, one of my favorite pictures of the Lord Jesus comes in Isaiah chapter 50, the third servant song. And there Isaiah says this of the Lord Jesus. He says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with the word him who is weary." And this is the bit. "Morning by morning he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backwards." Isn't that a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus? A picture of him waking up every morning and saying, "Father, speak, for your servant is listening." And who was more fruitful than the Lord Jesus Christ? So, how are you hearing God's word? Perhaps you're not hearing it very well. Maybe your heart has grown hard. Maybe you are teetering on the brink of giving up your faith. Maybe you're beset by life-choking cares and concerns. All I want to say to you this morning is this. Stop and go to Jesus and sit at his feet and say, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." That's the best thing that you could do as a Christian. And he who was taught of God, as he opened his ear and listened to his Father, he will sustain your weary soul. He will sustain it with his word, by his Spirit. And so he will produce his fruit in you. Amen.